There's an old saying, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate. You could add, you get what you make sure you ask for. When it comes to retirement and other benefits, federal employees must be sure to word their questions accurately. For some real-life examples of what can go wrong, benefits and retirement expert Tammy Flanagan. Tammy, it seems like it's not so easy to get what you have coming when it comes to the end of career, does it?
Well, Tom, thanks again for having me on, but I think the problem is, and I find this to be my problem when I have to do something that I'm not real familiar with. For example, if I have to take my car in for service and they start talking about differentials and chain drives or whatever it is that cars have, I don't really know the language. So in order to respond or to ask questions, I'm not exactly sure how I should be phrasing it or asking it, or even if I'm getting the right information. And I think the same thing happens to many federal employees when they're trying to ask for information about their retirement benefits, but they're not using perhaps the exact language that the retirement specialist can relate to. And I find this happening a lot because sometimes people will say, I want a deferred retirement, when they really want a postponed retirement, which are two entirely different things.
So what could happen if you ask for the wrong thing?
Well, for one thing, you could be told that you're not entitled to a benefit that you might be actually entitled to, or you might be told a different amount of a benefit that, you know, you could be entitled to, a higher or perhaps a lower amount. So it can be dangerous when you're doing your financial planning for retirement or trying to prepare for a retirement and you walk out the door of your agency and get something different than what you had expected. So you have to be really careful that you understand what it is that you need to find out.
And you've seen examples of this actually happening, right?
Oh, absolutely. I see it a lot. And I'm not exactly sure how to combat it other than to get more education and to really do a little research. And sometimes you even have to ask for a reference. Like, for instance, if you ask a question, say, would you please show me where that's written down, or could you give me a publication or a pamphlet, so that maybe then you can go home and read up on it and make sure that was what it was that you really wanted to find out about. So sometimes you just never know.
Well, give us an example that might be common where people ask for something they think they know what they want, but they just use the wrong word.
Right. Well, I had a woman recently who had gone to Social Security. She was entitled, because she turned 62 before this year, she was entitled to do something called filing a restricted application, where she wanted to file only on her husband's work record, and that would allow her to delay her own Social Security benefit so that it would pick up what's called delayed retirement credits, and she would get a much larger benefit. Now, this whole thing has gone away, but there's an exception that says if you turn 62 before 2016, you can still do it. So I had talked to her about it, so she went down to Social Security and requested that provision. Well, the way she worded her question, she was asking for something entirely different and was told that I, in fact, was wrong, that, you know, this whole thing had gone away and she could no longer do it. So when she came back to me, she wanted to correct me and say that, you know, my goodness, you know, you were trying to help me, but unfortunately, Social Security said you can't do it. But then I went back and I said, I think you might have asked for the wrong thing. So when I gave her the proper wording, she made another appointment and everything went quite smoothly and her new benefit's going to start up this October. And if she wouldn't have known the correct word, she would have gone off thinking that she was not entitled to do what it was that she was trying to accomplish.
In some sense, this is kind of a shame on federal programs that are so complex that the average person really can't decipher them or navigate their way through them.
And I think part of the problem is, too, like when someone comes to me with a question like that, if I'm thinking they might be asking about something different, I'll ask a few more questions to get more details. So we have a conversation back and forth, and it may take a few extra minutes. And I think that's the problem. Many federal agencies, many federal retirement specialists, they don't have the time necessarily to sit down with each and every employee and get to the, you know, really drill down and try to find out what it was that employee really was trying to find out. And I think that's a shame because that's where the mistakes can occur.
We're speaking with Tammy Flanagan, a senior benefits director for the National Institute of Transition Planning. And you also have mentioned some TSP-related questions. People ask, well, what do I need to withdraw?
In that situation there, I think it's more of who you're asking. Because if you go to your retirement specialist, they can help you maybe navigate the TSP website, show you the forms, but they're not necessarily going to be the ones to help you figure out what's the best way to take your money out. So you need to know which specialist, you know, who should I be talking to in order to figure out what to do with the money that's in my thrift savings plan. So if I just need to know how to go about accomplishing the withdrawal choice that I've already made up my mind, your retirement office can show you where to find the form, how to fill it out online, and do the procedures. But if you're trying to figure out how much money I need in retirement to supplement my FERS retirement, my Social Security, if you're not sure you're making the right choice there, it might be a financial planner that you need. Or if you're not sure how to set up the designation of beneficiary, if you leave it to a trust, or should I leave it to my two children or to my spouse, there you might need to talk to an estate planning attorney. So sometimes we might need to talk to specialists outside of our retirement benefits people that are at our agency.
We can file this all under the Life is Complicated category.
My goodness, it sure is.
In your GovExec column, you've got a hypothetical question. If I have 29 years of service and I have saved up a year of sick leave, can I retire or do I need to work another year to be eligible? You call that a trick question.
It is a trick question because if you're 55 years old or under the FERS retirement system, we call it, if you're at the minimum retirement age, which is right around 55, you really need to have 30 years of actual service to be able to retire. But once you reach age 60, you only need 20 years. So if somebody asks that question, if I have 29 years of service and I have a year of sick leave, do I have to work another year to be eligible? It really depends on how old they are. If they're 56 or 57, yes, they would need to work another year, and then we could add the sick leave on to the calculation. But let's say the person asking the question is already 62 years old. Well, then they don't need 30 years of service to be eligible, and then they would still get their retirement computed on 30 years. So in this case, it's a difference between understanding the rules for crediting that sick leave towards becoming eligible to retire versus crediting the sick leave in the computation of the retirement benefit. And that's a fine distinction, but it's a big difference.
Are there counselors that you can reach at these different programs that tend to know this stuff?
Yes and no. In many agencies now, there's consolidated personnel sections. Like I was at Army this week doing a seminar, and they have what's called the ABC Center, which makes it sound as easy as ABC, the Army Benefit Center. But these are consolidated personnel offices that are going to help thousands of Department of Army employees with their retirement. So you can email them, request for a retirement estimate. That's who you send your retirement application to. But to really sit down with a cup of coffee and talk to someone there about these questions or to try to really clarify something that you're trying to figure out, it's much harder because the way to access these folks is mostly by email. So it's hard to, you know, give them a phone call because they're just not going to have the time to sit down and really explain everything to you. So it depends on your agency, whether or not you have somebody down the hall or whether it's somebody in another state who's working in one of these big personnel shops that have to service thousands and thousands of employees.
Are you aware of any place you can get objective information on these things, almost like a reverse engineering calculator that you feed in your conditions and it'll tell you what your options are?
There are calculators out there that are available, I guess, and every agency has retirement calculators as well. The problem is they're not really do-it-yourself because these little quirks in the questions that you ask will sometimes cause you to put in the wrong data when you're trying to process those calculations. So, you know, like the old saying with computers, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So you have to know what it is that you're inputting to be able to get the correct answer out. So I think in some cases it really does require someone who understands these rules to be able to help. So I think the best thing employees can do is request a retirement estimate, and hopefully somebody who does understand the rules will be calculating that estimate for you, and they'll notice if there's a problem with how much service you have or whether or not you might have to pay a deposit to get credit for, let's say, military service. So by requesting that retirement estimate, what you're doing is getting somebody from your agency who hopefully is a retirement specialist to work on your case and help guide you through that process, even though it may not be that personal attention that you were hoping for.